Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, it's Mike with the Portage County Safety Council. I'm here with Ashley from Coleman Professional Services. Welcome to the podcast, Ashley.
Hi, thank you.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do at Coleman?
Yeah, so I am a licensed professional counselor. As you mentioned, I work at Coleman in their emergency office. I do emergency pre-screens and evaluations to determine appropriate levels of care for people, as well as I am the mental health first aid instructor.
So the Portage County Safety Council is partnering up with Coleman Professional Services and the Portage County Mental Health Recovery Board to facilitate a mental health first aid training that you'll actually be instructing. Can you tell us a little bit about mental health first aid?
Yeah, so mental health first aid is an 8-hour training course, the goal being a couple things, really to give an understanding of what mental health looks like and how we can help people, as well as break down the stigma that exists and that actually can prevent people from getting the help they need.
That's a pretty big deal. I have employers talk about all the time, like, hey, I have someone that's struggling through some issues. They don't really know how to identify it. They do see some things that are maybe some behaviors that may be off or abnormal for that individual. And they come asking for help. I don't know what to do. Who should I send this person to? Should I pull them aside? How do I communicate? So I think this is a real relevant training to what I hear employers are struggling with in the workplace. So there's an action plan, you said.
Yeah. So there's a 5-step action plan that we talk about in the training. We call it algae, but not the yucky green stuff. It actually is a mnemonic. It's A-L-G-E-E. It's assess for risk of suicide or harm, listen non-judgmentally, give reassurance and information, encourage appropriate professional help, and encourage self-help and other support strategies. Really, our goal is to get people tools to use, not only in the workplace, but just in the general public, because we all interact with everyone. And people have mental health struggles that they're facing, and it's great to have a supportive environment they can be in.
So mental health is such a big deal, and it's something that's often overlooked because we pay much more attention to the physical. It's easy to see if someone has a broken arm or leg. We see the cast, we see the physical aspect. If someone has a flu, you can see the warning signs and symptoms, but often it's hard to really identify the mental health. Is it someone just having a bad day? Are they just, you know, maybe they got in a fight with a spouse or their kids are in trouble at school and they're coming to work? All these different things to tell you, we just kind of blow off. But it's a really big deal when employers are seeing the effects of that at work. So what are some warning signs that if I'm an employer or if I'm a colleague at work and I see coworker just isn't behaving like normal, what are some things that might highlight there might be something more going on?
Well, so mental health can vary person to person, and the signs can vary. But a lot of things that we look for are just a general change in personality. Maybe a person has not been as effective as they typically would be in the workplace. They're coming in looking fatigued, just kind of a separation from what their norm is or what we're used to seeing in a person. So all of those things are different signs and symptoms that we look for. And through the mental health first aid training, we role play and we do a lot of interactive things to look at, okay, what are some things that we can notice and what can we do about it? And how can we interact with that person to get them help?
I've heard some old statistics about mental health, and I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what they are, is that the percentage of Americans that deal with mental health in their lifetime, it's like 60% of people.
Yeah, so
I mean, it's pretty incredible. The number is just astounding that we don't really think about. Like, out of half the people in the room, mm-hmm. more than half of them are probably going to have some sort of, or go through some sort of mental health crisis in their life.
I would love to give you stats right here, but there's a lot of them. It depends on the diagnosis of a person, depends on a lot of different factors. But mm-hmm. one of the things that we do go over in the training is the different statistics. Not only the statistics of how common they are, because you're right, they're well over 50% of folks deal with a mental health issue in their lifetime or through the given year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. But beyond that, we talk about statistics of the effect of the workplace and how it really kind of decreases how productive people are, what is happening in people's ability to be productive there. So we talk a lot about that and we go over statistics and things like that so people get a clear picture. But beyond that, we give them some role plays and things to really learn how to deal with it and what can we do so that we can decrease those statistics.
Yeah, because that's a pretty big deal. There's a big difference between learning information about, like, okay, these are warning signs of this particular mental health thing. Not that we're going to go and diagnose anyone. Don't do it.
Right.
Don't go try to diagnose them. But if you do see the warning signs, it's one thing to know that and say, hey, that looks like they could be dealing with some sort of anxiety or depression or whatever, or some kind of anger issue. But it's another thing to learn how to approach that person. What do you do about it since you're not a mental health professional? So what do we do? How do we begin to approach someone just generically? I know we'll get more in details in the training, which, by the way, if you're listening, October 25th, it's a Thursday, Maplewood Career Center, 8:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. If you're a Portage County Safety Council member, you'll get a discount. It's only going to be $15. We're throwing in lunch and all that stuff. So just a cheap plug in there. But how do we approach someone if we start seeing these warning signs? What are some tips?
Well, so I talked about the action plan. First thing we do is we look at what those signs and symptoms that we're noticing. And again, there's a long list and we go over that. But when you start to notice what those things are, first thing is assessing for risk of suicide or harm. And how we do that is learning how to be comfortable with talking to people about, are you having suicidal thoughts? Are you having thoughts of killing yourself? Those can be uncomfortable questions. And
absolutely.
It takes practice to really become comfortable with that. And that's our goal, is to become comfortable with that. The biggest stigma that exists is people are afraid to ask that question because they think they'll put that thought in their head. And you're never going to put that thought into somebody's head if they haven't already had that thought. So getting comfortable with those questions is first. We learn how to listen non-judgmentally, which sounds kind of simple in itself, but
right.
People are surprised of what they're putting out there and not realizing that they are putting out what they don't want to put out into the world.
Right.
So we learn how to do that. And then we talk about resources and how to get people connected and what recommendations they can make to other people and just how they create a supportive environment and what that looks like. So as I mentioned, we do a lot of role playing because we are facing a lot of different circumstances and we want to prepare people for all different types of things.
Yeah, I really like the idea of role playing because it's one thing to have a PowerPoint, have the information, to actually practice and get a couple reps in. I do Bridges Out of Poverty training. They use a line in there. They teach you how to approach someone in almost like a motivational interview. And if someone's that pre-contemplative stage of change, some things you could say to make them think about future consequence of their actions. So they say, if you choose blank, then you've chosen. Mm-hmm. And I used to laugh because I wasn't even sure if I bought into it, if it actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then a real life situation at work, I actually used it, just kind of came out of my mouth through all the training.
Right.
And I laughed afterwards, like, wow, I actually believe what I train now.
Right.
So you actually see, like, wow, I thought it was just a PowerPoint, like a little like script that I'd say that was a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, part of you kind of entertain that in the back. But really, when a situation came that I actually needed it, it's like a lot of the veterans that I've worked with have said, you know, in combat situations, how did you deal with that stress? Or like, well, my training kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
So even that kind of sense for mental health first aid, it's a great thing. So what does the role playing look like?
Well, so everybody gets a little intimidated when we talk about role playing because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, I don't want to volunteer for that. And that's okay. I don't pick on anybody. But a typical role play is just us talking about a set scenario or a scenario that mm-hmm. maybe somebody that is there in the training has experience and wants to kind of talk through.
Yeah.
And we work off of that as a group and we talk about, okay, what can we do? How can we address the situation? What can we talk about with this person? How does this going to fit within our action plan? I try my best to use real life scenarios. I pull from my own life scenarios and things that I've experienced, as well as, you know, anybody that's willing to or feels comfortable sharing a scenario, I want to do that. We have set role plays too. If everybody's like, oh no, give me some ideas. We have those as well, but it's really about talking it out. For example, say we're concerned about somebody and assessing for risk of suicide or harm. We'll talk about a scenario in which a person is reporting some suicidal thoughts and we work through what we can do next, what things we can say that are helpful, also what things we can say that are not helpful and how do we avoid saying those things.
And one thing I want to point out, addiction has transitioned under the mental health umbrella mm-hmm. over the last few years. Sometimes in public opinion, it might be thought of as two separate things. Mm-hmm. So does this training cover addiction?
We do talk about substance abuse and addiction. We also do some review for using Narcan and things like that, because as I mentioned, assessing for risk, that's definitely a risk. That's definitely a concern. We want to talk and give you tools to use and have a game plan of what we can do and how we can give a person help. You mentioned earlier the stages of change. We talk about the stages of change in the training because it's important to understand what that looks like. For a lot of people, it's like, oh, you know, I just want this person to get help and why aren't they getting help? And it can be frustrating, but this is a training to not only support the person that needs services, but to support the people around them that want to help them, but don't know what to do or don't know how to help.
And often mental health and addiction kind of overlap, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see that's a real common way of escaping or try to cope with maybe some of the mental health or trauma or stress that they've been through or are currently going through. And I know a lot of times the employers and our members that they talk about the drug issue, and the statistics are really alarming right now. We just at our expo, we had a speaker come in and talk about drugs in the workplace, and overdose deaths due to opioids have actually went up, I think it was around 30%
mm-hmm.
in 1 year
right.
at the workplace. So the problem isn't going away anytime soon mm-hmm. that we can see that it looks like, and it's a big deal for employers. Are there any comments on that, how this training is going to help employers spot, identify, and help that individual most importantly, but also keep their employees that they know that can do the job day in and day out?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, we go over signs and symptoms. So recognizing signs that somebody may be abusing a substance, what concerns they have depending on the substance that's being used and things like that, what the prevalence is of that, because a lot of people are surprised of, unfortunately, how common substance use is. And then giving them that game plan of, okay, I'm seeing these things. What do I do about it? How do I encourage this person to get help? And as an employer, what can I do? Because this is affecting our productivity, or this is affecting the workplace. I want to get this person better. So not only can they be better, but also the workplace can improve.
Right. There's some things with physical health that we see, like with health screenings. If we could catch it early, it prevents, like, if we can catch our blood pressure or something like that, it prevents like a bigger issue down the road. Does like a stroke or heart attack. Would you say the same is true for mental health?
Absolutely. One of the things that we talk about, as I mentioned, is stigma. And unfortunately, because that stigma exists, it really keeps people from reaching out and getting the help that they need. So if we can break down that stigma, we get people connected faster and they can avoid being in a state of crisis, knowing that there are services available, and get them connected more quickly.
That is a big issue. I've worked with some clients where people said, oh, I can't go to this particular agency, or I can't go to this place because I'm not one of those people, because they're so afraid of the stigma. They feel like, well, if you get services there, then you're crazy. And it's like, no, that's not really what mental health is. It's way more common than what we think. Any final thoughts before we close out this interview of just to kill that stigma and really talk about how common that is and how common it is in the workplace?
Well, one of my favorite things that we do in the training, little project or group activity where we look at physical illness and mental health illness and compare of what our thoughts are on those. For example, do we take pie or something, casserole dish, to somebody that's experiencing depression or schizophrenia, versus do we take a pie or casserole dish to somebody that's experiencing, you know, a diagnosis of breast cancer? And fortunately, the fact of the matter is we should be taking a pie and casserole dish to both, but we don't. And so it's getting an understanding that there's really no difference, because our physical health affects our mental health and our mental health affects our physical health.
Absolutely.
And they play into each other. So you can't really have one without the other. So it's important to understand that if you're going to know first aid in general, you really should know mental health first aid as well.
I agree. And I'm so excited for this training. Again, it's on Thursday, October 25th at Maplewood Career Center, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. If you want to join, if you're listening, you can contact us at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. Go to our website, go to our Twitter page. We'll have links set up there. You could go register for this event. So thanks, Ashley. We look forward for the training. Thanks for coming to Sharon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.